This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malagana's Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
I am very, very excited to see this story that has popped up in the Canberra Times. There has been... Okay, well, actually, let's take it down a notch.
Okay.
Let's go to what happened when you and I first moved here.
Sure.
Before we moved here, we were told, oh, have you had winter yet? That was like the big thing. And it was like... It was like a new seagoing person telling a young sailor, you haven't been through a storm yet.
A salty sea dog.
Get ready for winter because you have no idea what it's going to be like.
And I'm from Tasmania, so I was like, okay. And
sure.
Jesus, it's getting cold.
It is so cold.
But there's so many like rumors and myths about the winter here, like fake spring.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big one that goes around where it like gets hot for a week, and then everyone goes, oh great, we're out of winter. Start wearing shorts
straight
and t-shirts
back into winter,
and then like a week later, it'll be back to being freezing.
Got to say that has happened every year we've been here.
Yep.
So that. There's some truth to that. Spot on. But one of the big ones that we heard about winter was that basically you're having a laugh and you won't make it through the rest of winter if you turn your heater on inside before Anzac Day.
Yep. That's it. The cutoff day is Anzac Day for not being able to use your air conditioner for heat.
You shouldn't be turning on your heater until Anzac Day.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're not a real Canberran. You're not tough enough to get through winter. All this sort of nonsense that we kept hearing, which is why... Thanks to the Canberra Times today, I'm delighted to announce there was some Evo energy data released that shows that last week during the cold snap, there was a slight rise in power consumption.
So people are,
people aren't practicing what they preach.
Yeah, people are getting up on their high horses going, we tough it out,
No. And this shows it because why else? Why else would the power be going up unless a whole bunch of people started turning their heaters on before Anzac Day?
I know you have.
I did.
But I haven't.
I've been a big proponent of if you're cold, you can turn your heater on.
Like, what are you suffering
for? If you've
got
a jumper on and a beanie on and you're inside, maybe just whack the heater on as well. That's another thing you could do.
I haven't put my heater on yet.
No way. You live in a double brick
cave
that gets barely any sunlight.
That's why. It retains all the heat.
I would have thought that makes it super cold.
No. It gets hot during summer because it retains the heat.
Oh, okay.
And in winter, it actually stays pretty warm. So much so that I literally was like making dinner on Monday.
Mm.
And I was like, far out, I'm hot in here. The heater wasn't on. And I took my jumper off and then I had to go out to the bins. And the second I walked outside, I was like, oh my God, why did I do that?
That's fantastic. But you have that going for you because that is a gift.
Yep.
But it does... It does certainly sound a little bit like the seasoned Canberrans used to talk to us when we first started living here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be...
you think you're calling me a liar?
No, there's literally
no way to prove it, but I promise you that I have.
We get some energy data specifically for your house.
I wouldn't do that because I...
Get the electricity meter down there.
please don't do that because I... may or may not have paid my power bill in a while.
You may or may not be in arrears.
As far as an energy company is concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm off the grid.
Okay.
They think I'm dead, I think.
Well, one, to tell whether Ned's lying, like apparently the rest of Canberra, or is maybe just not, to get your power bill paid, I would love to speak to somebody who reads energy meters for a living and get them around there.
I would let you go into my... I'm not lying, because that's it. What do I have to gain from lying? You've already told the truth.
I think this is just such wonderful news. This is great, because now we can all drop the facade. It is freezing sometimes before Anzac Day.
Yeah.
So just get into it.
Yeah.
Get your heaters going.
Peel in.
I mean, obviously put a jumper on first. I'm not going to say be flippant with your energy usage.
Yeah.
But... just embrace it, Canberra.
You don't have to be scared.
No, you're not impressing anyone.
Mm. Especially Josh.
You know what the best part is? Yeah. You can work out whether you're impressed by Ned's lying 30 seconds ago.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a lady online who was trying to get rid of her dog. Unfortunately, it's just not a great fit with her family. She has got kids and it's a chihuahua. It's a two-year-old chihuahua that's not really meshing so much. And she's like,
how scary does a chihuahua need to be before you're like, this is endangering my children?
Well, I'm going to read you because she has tried to do it in like kind
She must have like very small kids, one or the other, like that's babies or something.
Oh, yeah. I think she, the kids probably just freaked the dog out because they're erratic and stuff. Yep. And the dog's like, don't.
The kids don't know how to calm the dog down.
And chihuahuas are already like, I think, a little bit nervous as is because they're so much smaller than everything else.
That's a generalization, but every chihuahua I've ever seen, friends that have them, they are really skittish. Yeah, like they're really skittish.
Well, that's in their nature. That's not even like, that's literally in their nature.
So skittish that they were literally the mascots for the shaken dog.
Exactly right.
They were the shaken dogs.
So she's trying to be honest and she's trying to kind of hide his personality a little bit. His name's Prancer, by the way.
Great name.
She's trying to hide his personality a bit and it's not worked. So she's taken to the internet and it's like, does anyone want this dog? But this is what she's written. Okay, I've tried. I've tried for the last several months to post this dog for an adoption and make him sound palatable. The problem is, he's just not. There's not a very big market for a neurotic, man-hating, animal-hating, children-hating dog that looks like a gremlin, but I believe that there is someone out there who is the right fit for Prancer. Every day we live in the grips of a demonic chihuahua hellscape he has created in our home. If you own a chihuahua, you probably know what I'm talking about. He's literally the chihuahua meme that describes him being 50% hate and 50% tremble. If you're intrigued and horrified at how horrible my animal sounds, just wait, there's more. Prancer came to me obese, wearing a cashmere sweater with a bacon and egg cheese stuffed in his crate with him. I should have known from that moment that this dog would be a problem. And it goes on to say that, like, he came from an old lady who was just feeding him like an adult.
Oh, wow.
And essentially, like, a person. Yeah. And didn't expose him to other dogs when he was little. So he's, already a skittish dog that is not accustomed to dogs as is. So it's made him more skittish. And she's essentially just going, like, I can't have him in my house anymore.
You know what's fantastic about this for me? This, I think, will actually work.
It has.
Oh, you're kidding.
Hundreds of thousands of people have been like, I'll take him. 100%. He's so cute. And it's funny, he does look like a little gremlin, but in an adorable way.
Gremlins are adorable before they're gremlins.
Well, that's...
Sorry.
Yeah, that's Gizmo.
Anyway, that's when they become.
You know what? He looks like a cross. He looks like when Gizmo has, and this is a reference for people who are very familiar with gremlins, but when Gizmo has the off children that look evil before they turn into gremlins, they shed all their fur and stuff. Before they eat after midnight, they look evil and they've got like mohawks and stuff. That's what this dog looks like.
I haven't seen Gremlins, so that was a very specific reference. Yeah. I think this would work only because it makes him sound like, you could help this dog.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
This would absolutely trigger a part in me where I'd be like, I want to make sure Prancer doesn't have to go to the pound.
Exactly.
I want to make sure that he has a nice home. I know how to fix this. Basically become like the old lady. I'll just slowly stop feeding him bacon and egg. I'll just slowly start feeding him dog food.
Exactly, and it's kind of a refreshing thing of like, I won't get this dog and there'll be like these hidden things. Yeah. It'll be like, I know what I'm getting for this dog. And she's ended it saying, so what are his good traits? He's beyond loyal. To tell a secret, his complexion is really a facade. Jesus. Yeah. Facade for his fear. If someone tried to kill you, you can guarantee he would run away screeching. But as far as companionship goes, you will never be alone. He likes to go on car rides, and he's very housebroken. He knows a few basic commands. He's quiet and non-destructive when you leave him at home.
Yeah, someone's jumped that opportunity. Should have added the bonus. He also comes with a cashmere sweater, which is great.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast.
Josh, a little bit of family drama from a random family that I think is in the United States, so won't hear this, no way. But they, couple getting married, lovely, and they're saying it's like a part of a trend. Look, I've only been to, I'm going to a wedding this weekend, and that'll be my fourth ever wedding.
Wedding number four.
The first one I went to was as a 10-year-old to my parents' wedding.
Yes.
Which was strange.
Yes.
And the joke that I heard and didn't get until I was a little bit older, but it's actually quite funny, was like, because my parents had been together for like 20 something years.
Yeah.
Had me and my two twin sisters.
Yeah.
And the joke that kept being passed around is like, are you sure you want to go through with this, Greg? we live together.
And it's pretty funny. I went to a wedding literally 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I can give you more up to date wedding reviews, if you'd like.
Tell me
what this thing is.
The rule. There's a rule that's being imposed, and it's a part of a trend, but it's a kid-free wedding.
Yep.
There is a lady.
The one I went to was.
Oh, really?
I'm not even kidding.
There you go. Well, this was a kid-free wedding. Everyone was made very, very aware, but the groom's sisters, three of them, all brought their kids.
Yep.
And the bride was like, you're out.
You're kidding.
See you later. Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah, you knew the rules.
I told you all exactly what was going to happen. Then the mum
was amazing.
The mum said it was not. It was illogical because they were all coming from interstate where they couldn't leave their kids.
Yes, they needed to. Yeah,
and she was like, "That's not my problem. I told you not to bring your kids, and you brought them. This is, I'm putting my foot down."
You know what my friends Tim and Jess did?
Yeah.
Their wedding was a little different. It wasn't strictly kids-free.
Yeah.
Babies were allowed.
Oh, it's a toddler-free.
So they cut it off after babies.
Right, that makes sense.
And I saw a few people there pushing what a baby is.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's a toddler.
I just had a conversation. Yeah. This kid just asked me about my taxes. I don't know why this is a baby.
Yeah, but no, it was to keep kids from, like, running around and
stuff. Of course.
Basically, if the kid's in the pram...
Yeah.
Fine.
Exactly.
If the kid's out of the pram, we don't have facilities to keep them entertained.
Yeah.
We don't have food they'll like.
Yep.
Kid-free wedding.
Exactly right. The mum's saying you should make amends and maybe have a second wedding where it's kid-friendly. And the wife, the bride's like, no, absolutely not.
So what does that even look like?
Exactly
right. You
get
married in a jumping castle?
Exactly.
your bridal outfit's Elsa from Frozen? Like, what does that look like?
The musical band is the Wiggles.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy. I think that this is obviously maybe not great for people who have kids and they're like, I don't know what to do with.
It is tough. I get that. But it's like, it's also at the same time, I remember being a kid that was forced to go to my auntie's wedding and I hated it.
That's the only thing that this is good for, other than the people who are getting married and don't want to be like, I don't want to have to figure out babysitting for your kids, is literally kids.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, no kid has ever been to a wedding other than like the dancing that you might get to do for a little bit. But then the adults come over who have had a few Chardonnays, and they're like, I'll show you dancing. And then kids are like,
this is dangerous, because then there's these giants that are doing all these weird dance moves near you.
Uncle Phil's like, oh, you know, I'll do the worm. And it's like, don't.
You're going to land on Jaden. Don't do that.
I think kids across the globe would be like, and I tell you why I know this is because, your auntie's wedding as a kid, my parents' wedding as a kid, I thought was so boring, and it was at my house.
Yeah, it's so funny. You had all your toys there.
I was like, can I go into the lounge room and play PlayStation? Mum's like, no.
It's our wedding.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
PlayStation at the wedding?
I don't care. Nothing changes.
The only thing I enjoyed about my auntie's wedding was that Men in Black had just come out at the movies, and I got to wear a little tux, and I thought I was Will Smith, and then I realized basically halfway through it after I spilt Fanta down the front, I'm not cool.
Your name does start with a J, though.
Yeah, that's why I'm Agent J. There we go. With Fanta all down the front of my suit.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there has been a weird spike in a very specific part of mugging in India.
Yeah, right.
That isn't, obviously, I don't think mugging is funny, but this very weird facet of it does make me chuckle.
It's kind of objectively an added asterisk next to this isn't funny.
This isn't funny.
Little asterisk.
This part is
kind of weird.
Yeah. I will say the most that's been mugged off people is like 60 US, 60 Australian dollars, which is like 60,000 rupiah or whatever. Okay.
60 bucks is still annoying.
It's annoying.
It's not fun. Anyway, let's go back to the asterisk, the little part of this that is funny.
Okay, here's what's been going on. Apparently somehow muggers, like people, I've seen like every documentary that you see from David Attenborough where it's like talking about animals that have assimilated with human life. You always
There's
see
a whole one about the city.
It's
like
so
animals
cool.
that have worked out how to live in a city
like
now.
Like cats, birds, ibises. Bats, ibises. Yeah, exactly right. They've learned how to like function and thrive within cities. But the one that you always see in India is monkeys.
Yeah.
Getting around on roofs. They run down to like fresh fruit markets and like steal fruit. They're like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And the monkeys take off like kings.
It's
kind of funny.
Yeah. But it's also when you watch that documentary, like, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with monkeys because that seems like it's annoying.
It would be funny for like a day, but if I was actually running a business and monkeys theft was a thing I had to think about.
Not just shoplifting, but also monkeys stealing stuff, you'd be angry as.
You can chase a robber down the street, but if a monkey just takes up off a telegraph pole, you're like, well, that's that.
There's not much I can do now.
What's going on is that apparently muggers are training monkeys to be like their hired muscle.
Yeah, wow.
And in a specific story that has like made its way back is that like a couple of guys got into a rickshaw.
Yeah.
And they sat in it and it stopped at the lights. And just before it took off, a dude jumped in with them on the opposite side and two monkeys jumped in with him. And he was all right, money, or I'm going to sick my monkeys on you. And apparently the monkeys are like,
And the guy's like, well, there you go.
Wow.
Gave him $60. But apparently, like, and not even like gorillas or chimpanzees.
Like little, I'm imagining the little monkeys.
Like the little Mandarin monkeys.
Yeah.
They are like being hired as thugs, like armed, well, not armed, but muscle for these muggers.
Well, the guy's armed with monkeys.
Exactly right.
He's got his weapons that he's brought to this mugging are animals. That is bizarre.
It's so much better than like Joker's hired goons.
Yeah.
Because, well, first of all, I don't know how that happens.
Or James Bond's James Bond villain henchman. Yeah.
That would cost so much. When I see Blofeld's like, hideaways.
It's basically his army that he has.
It's like, how much would this cost to hire 500 people, mercenaries as well?
And you know, they're doing a tough job.
Yeah.
Their lives are constantly at risk. So millions of dollars.
Exactly right. A monkey, you get $60 and you just buy a 1 cent mandarin and go, here you go. And they're like, sick.
This is a great trade.
This is brilliant. So you know far,
why
so great.
You know why the mandarin thing's a great trade for a monkey? There's no such thing as monkey jail.
Exactly,
that's why. They're like, I'm not risking anything here.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, would you say that you spend an exorbitant amount of money on delivery?
I would.
For food?
Yeah. I would say that. I spend a lot of money. And it's almost like...
How close, just for those, you know, wondering relativity, do you live to like a shopping center?
Yeah. Very close. Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. Here's what I'll say is a little bit of an offset. I am actively and doing, like trying to eat healthier.
I've seen you cooking. You've talked to me about your cooking and that sounds very good.
I had sweet potato mash the other day instead of mashed potato, which I don't know if it's better, but
I think it's meant to be better, isn't it?
So I say that the only time I get takeaway now is pretty much when I get it delivered. So the only time I'm getting takeaway is when it's delivered to my house.
Now, I know that you're quite charming with a couple of the delivery drivers. You give them a little, you give them a little nod and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of when they just leave it at the door and bolt?
No.
Yeah, see, I am because,
I don't like
but
it
I live
at all.
In an apartment building that's not exposed to outside at all.
Yeah.
So it just goes on the floor in front.
Yeah.
And it's just like a quick knock on the door.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh. Food's magically, because it feels like magic to me. It feels like the food just magically appeared.
Right, okay.
I understand there are people working hard to bring it to me, but it's like, it excites me into like a kind of Santa kind of way. I'm like, here's my food. This is amazing.
Whereas, and I'm not saying, because I don't want to, I don't know if they've probably combated this, but I don't like the thought of the thing I'm about to put into my body being on the ground at all.
Oh, I see.
So I would rather, and it has happened a couple of times, and when it does happen, I don't care, but I'd rather someone hand it to me.
Well, mate, the great news for you because you could have the best of both worlds. Doesn't have to touch the ground because Domino's in Texas are trialing a pizza delivery robot.
Right.
It is literally like a little, I would say, you know those, it's kind of like a, you know those things that people have in their garden to collect like garden clippings and stuff?
It's not
a wheelbarrow. It's got four wheels. It's like a little red wagon that kids used to pull behind them. It's got like a roof on it, though.
Okay, right.
And then it just wheels itself along.
Yeah.
And then when you get your pizza, the front of it just folds down.
Cool.
And you, like, pick your pizza out of, like, this warmer.
I will say, I can't imagine this robot's going to be driving very fast.
Yeah, well.
But maybe it's heated. Maybe the inside of the box is heated.
It is. It keeps them nice and warm. And the best part of this is, I think they're still doing the 20-minute, like, guarantee.
Wow. So
it
had very
bold. They did have to pick up some speed.
Very bold of them to do that with a robot.
The only problem I have here is people are so into air fryers and stuff at the moment. If you're essentially sending an oven on wheels to people's houses, people are going to steal it.
People might steal it.
They're just going to invite the robot in and then just close the door.
Actually, this is a problem for me as well because I have stairs that lead up to the front door the people... So the robot would just be like, I can't press the button. How do I get this? How did I let this man know that his pizza has arrived?
Can you please do me a favor?
Yeah.
If Domino's reach out to you and ask you to voice their pizza robot,
Yes.
That's what I wanted. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned. Mystery. We are in the Mystery Mansion right now. It is your chance to potentially win yourself a $50 voucher to spend at Fishwick Fresh Food Markets. It's a Canberra institution and Canberra's oldest markets, open Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. Get on the phone. Very, very simple. All you do is get a mystery word, hide it in a little story, and the person who left the room, when you got given the mystery word, has to come back in and try and see if they can discover your mystery mention.
We have Gabriella from Ngunnawal on the line. How's it going, Gab?
I'm good, thank you.
Is it all right? I'm great. Is it okay that I called you Gab? I did just cross a pretty big line, if that's not all right.
You might, because we have got the name here as Gabriella, so you might prefer your full name.
Yeah, that's You definitely wouldn't have been the first one. I don't think anyone calls me Gabriella.
Okay, well, right. We have in our system, yeah. So that's good. So when you win, you'll have to identify yourself as Gabriella. Gabriella, let's get into this. Who would you like to leave the room and therefore be the person trying to guess your mystery word?
I think I'm going to go with Josh.
Damn it. Yeah. I have to walk the furthest.
And it's because I think it's because I've got a bit of familiarity calling her Gab. We've got a bond now. All right, he's left, Gab. I don't know why I went quiet. That's the exact opposite of what you mentioned on the radio. Okay, your mystery word is going to be... I probably should have thought of one. I want you to be monkey, all right?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Okay. All right, come back in. Did you hear that? You were very close to the door, Gab. I want to believe the best of Josh, but he was very close to the door.
Okay, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe. That's
all right. Now you'll hear the gift of the Gab in a story.
Ah, very clever. All right, Gab, take it away.
Okay, on Monday it was my birthday and my boyfriend took me to the zoo. I looked at the elephant, the cheetah, the monkey, and the brown bear. Can you guess which one was favorite?
Guess which one was your favorite? What a great way to do that story. Yeah. That was the list technique, which
Gab
is
going for
usually
the classic list technique.
List technique, yeah. Where you list a bunch of things. Okay.
Hang on, but before we get into that, is that a real story, Gabriella?
It is a real story.
Did you see my baby little boy Solo, the cheetah?
I did. He's so cute.
He is so cute.
He's a very handsome boy. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. I have a couple of theories.
Run us through the first word.
So the first animal Gabriella stumbled after, which was elephant.
Mm-hmm. You think she was confident about elephant?
She also said monkey as one word. Like you said monkey, not monkeys, which is a weird. Did you only see one monkey?
But she said elephant. She said elephant cheetah.
No, she said elephants.
She only said cheetah and monkey.
I'm going to go with elephant because you stumbled so badly over it. I think it might be the word. So what do you reckon?
Gab, what's the word?
It's monkey.
You were so close.
It was the plural thing. It was the fact you didn't say monkeys.
Yeah, and you were spot on, and it's so funny because I picked it up as well, and I was like, oh, Gab, that's going to be it for you.
I did have my back. I did the best choice.
No, you nailed it.
You did beautifully well. And well, I'll give you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes tip here. Mm-hmm. When I said monkeys, Ned gave me a look like it's not that.
Yeah. So. It's because I didn't want you to win.
You got a bit of help there as well, so congratulations. You got a Fishwick Fresh Food Markets, Canberra Institution and Canberra's Oldest Markets open Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. $100 to spend down there, Gab. Well done.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
And thank you for playing the mystery mention.
Well
happy birthday. Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7. Impulse shopping. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of it, as I just stated before. But I get into a full confession now. I get into a really dumb headspace when it comes to gambling sometimes. Yeah. Like, I'll see a sign. Mm. You know, I'll go, oh, I should do this.
Yeah, right.
And so this situation has absolutely happened to me. A Missouri man has actually won himself, this situation hasn't happened, he's won himself $100,000.
Right.
The first part of the situation has happened to me, where the only reason this guy who won $100,000 bought a scratchy at all is because the guy in front of him did.
That's pretty funny.
So the guy in front of him did, and he, like a person seeing a sign from the universe, bought the next one in the roll of the exact same scratchy.
Yeah, right.
And won $100,000.
You would hope that they didn't announce, because obviously the guy who bought the scratchy beforehand probably left the store. Not often do you stick around to witness what people are buying after you. But surely you would... If they didn't announce what the scratcher was, hopefully this person who was first would know that was them.
I mean, Danny is his name, this guy.
Yeah.
It does say that he made a phone call immediately to his girlfriend.
Right.
She didn't believe he was telling the truth.
Right.
Thought she was joking. Yep. This actually happened on April Fool's Day, so.
Yeah. Oh, the worst time that anything could happen to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or bad, honestly.
He did not tell the customer ahead of him.
No way. As if you would. Oh, I guess because, that's it. I'm thinking of it like it's the lotto. It literally is like you scratch it and go, oh my goodness, I've won. It's not like you go away and find out.
And it's very rare to, I think, that you scratch the scratchy in the store.
Yeah,
I think
that's
you go
true.
Back to your car or
at
you even
the very least.
You wait till you get home or something like that. But this just, I feel so bad for the mystery person in front of him.
The first person,
because that would have probably been me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I this is the one where my impulse purchases come back to bite me on the ass.
Yeah,
I've never been like, oh, that was a good decision.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The only good purchases I make are the ones I Google, do a bit of research.
Yeah.
Go,
yeah,
oh, I'm really, really happy with my UE Boom, or I'm really, really happy with my iPhone, or not just something where I go, oh, that was cool that I bought that $40 LED strip that now doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's really, really stupid that I did that.
So you think you'd be the first person?
I'd be the first guy.
But the second person's the impulse buyer.
Yeah.
But you just don't think you've got that much good impulse karma.
I think any scratchy is an impulse buy.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that this guy in the first position was also an impulse buy is because of the name of the scratchy.
Right.
Because the name of the scratchy would have made me buy it on impulse.
What is it?
Hot, hot cash.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have seen that out of left of my eye. That would have been like, pump seven, thanks.
Yeah.
And is that... Hot, hot. Yeah, and a hot, hot cash as well. Thank you very much.
Hot.
Yeah. And then the guy behind me wins 100 grand.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, my parents decided that I was going to live like a monkey or a small bird when I grew up in terms of snacks.
I like to say fruit bat.
There you go,
I think
fruit
your
bat,
parents
perfect.
Decided
yeah.
that the only treats you would get would be the same treats you'd feed a possum or a fruit bat.
Yeah, which is, I guess, fine and good in hindsight, but I remember as a kid I thought it sucked.
Yeah, I'd imagine no yogos for you. No.
I got, like treats for me would be like dried pineapple and dried apricot.
Yeah.
Like, literally
like
a fruit
bat.
But... every now and again, once in a blue moon, I would get a Lunchable.
Ah, yes.
When my mum just couldn't be bothered. Honestly, now that I think back at it, it's like probably when she was hungover and it's like, I've got to make kids' lunches. I'll just slap in a Lunchable.
Quick question, because Lunchable, Munchables, they're all different for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they're all different things. So what was yours? What would you have said was in your stock standard Lunchable?
Cracker.
Yep.
Cheese.
Yep.
Ham.
All standards. What was the extra thing?
There was mostly M&Ms, like the mini M&Ms, but also I remember getting Smarties in the bigger one, and there was one that was like chocolate pudding, which I don't like chocolate, so I used to be able to trade that for great stuff at school.
I don't know if this was a Victorian thing like where I grew up, but my munchable like little dessert was a Milky Way. Like a little fun-sized Milky Way, which was the best.
I tried to get, like I tried to do before this, despite what it sounds like, I actually tried to do a bit of research and find out what like the staple is.
Yeah.
But apparently, they just change it up all the time. Sometimes they have like, in this one, they have Reese's Pieces.
That's amazing.
It's so cool. Lunchables are fantastic. There is a mum, however, online, probably much like my mother, who is very concerned about her child's health.
Yeah.
And is like, you know what? Lunchables are very fun because it's like you get little compartments. And that was kind of you felt like a little chef when you were like five and you're like, oh,
put it together.
Ham and cheese and
a
little sandwich.
If you're a classy kid, like I was, you felt like you're at your own chips and dips night.
Perfect.
Your fellow friends would be sitting there and you'd be like, ha, lovely.
It's like a bit of charcuterie
cheese platter.
This mum, however, has gone, you know what? I'm just going to make my kid his own Lunchable in getting like a little reusable Tupperware container and getting like things that you put cupcakes in, like the little holders you put cupcakes in.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so you get little compartments, got some cheese, got some crackers, got some ham. But then instead of a Milky Way or a Reese's Piece or a Smartie or a pudding or whatever, she's put in grapes, a boiled egg, and some, and this I guess is the best part, some strawberries. And everyone online has gone, this is incredible, which it is. As an adult, I go, that is really good. It's like, that's pretty healthy.
No, as an adult, that makes me furious.
Because as a kid,
no one remember.
No kid at school is going, oh my goodness, your mum's made you such a healthy lunch. Every kid at school is going, that's not a Lunchable.
People might
you're
be
eating
saying,
grapes, dude.
If that makes you mad, Josh, you're no longer an adult.
Yeah,
you're a child. And I'm saying, no, I'm a childless adult.
Yeah.
So I still very much remember. I'm not worrying about raising a healthy human.
No.
I'm remembering what it was like to be a little human
exactly.
and not wanting grapes or, for God's sake, a boiled egg.
Yeah, that's it.
Other kids are there with their Lunchables with little M&M's minis, and then you are with your boiled egg.
She's made another one, and I think maybe this is and I hate to say a tear up because it's like a fraction up, but it's got our laughing cow cheese in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's at least like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But yeah, no kid at school is going like, because that's it. What I said, I don't like chocolate. So that when I got a chocolate pudding in it, I'd be like, I can get a fruit roll up. I can get anything essentially. I've got keys to the city. No one's going, I'll swap you the hard boiled egg for my Smarties.
This kid is still getting some stuff in kind of like a Lunchables way, though, isn't he? In compartments and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's all compartmentalized.
The only hope this kid has is to actually bring an actual cheese platter to school and get everyone to put theirs on the cheese platter.
Yeah, let's all share, guys. It'll be great.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast. Podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.